Welcome to the Seasoned Athlete Podcast, your home for stories, inspiration, and advice from athletes over 40. I'm your host, Robin Leggett. I'm a later in life athlete who became a roller derby skater in my 30s and a runner and obstacle racer in my 40s. Now, I'm an athletic aging coach who helps women over 40 experience the massive life benefits that come with exploring your athletic potential at any age and any fitness background. If that fires you up, keep listening. Let's do this. Question for you, seasoned athletes. When did we stop playing? We spend a lot of time around here talking about sports and athletics and going after competitive goals and challenges and all that stuff. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about play. Free, fun, unstructured play. I'm talking about the stuff you did at recess when you were in elementary school. I'm talking about playing games. I'm talking about play. For some reason, we just stop playing when we become adults. And who says we have to do that? If play is enriching for kids, why wouldn't it be for adults? The power of play is what today's episode is all about. And if I'm going to talk about play, the person to talk to about it is the play lady herself, Pat Rumbaugh. Pat Rumbaugh was a physical education teacher and she coached children's sports for 30 years. From this experience, she learned that everyone can benefit from unstructured play. In her new identity as the play lady, she has conducted over 130 play events since founding a play committee in 2009. The play committee led to the development of the nonprofit called Let's Play America that targets people of all ages, abilities, and backgrounds with play days, streets closed to play, and other play events. Pat is going to be a featured speaker on the subject of play at the Free to Play Summit taking place July 12th through 16th. You can find out more about that at fairydustteaching.com. And now, let's discover how you can bring more play into your life with the play lady, Pat Rumbaugh. Hi, Pat. Are you ready to drop some seasoned athlete knowledge on our listeners today?
Absolutely.
I love to hear it. So you are Pat Rumbaugh. You are also known as the Play Lady. You've conducted over 130 play events since 2009. You have a nonprofit called Let's Play America, which targets people of all ages, abilities, and backgrounds with play days, streets closed play, and other play events. And I love this topic for so many reasons, but most importantly, because I really want to get into the concept of the power and benefits of play as we age, which I think is something that we forget about after a certain age. And I think women in particular tend to forget about it. And I think you definitely can speak to why it's important to implement this in our lives because you are the play lady. So Pat, I want to start by asking the question I ask all my guests, and that is, what is your age at this moment in time?
I'm 62 years young.
62 years young. I get people periodically that say years young, but I love that. And play is keeping you young, correct?
Oh, yes.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So I want to go back in time a little bit and get a little background on how you grew up and ended up where you're at today. So what did your early athletic life look like? Did you play sports growing up?
Well, I played outside and I did play sports, but I did not have the opportunity to play on a team until I was in 10th grade in high school. Prior to that, it was a lot of pickup football, basketball, made up games, bike riding, racing, jumping, climbing.
That was my childhood. Like, and the funny thing was, I didn't identify as an athlete for most of my life. And yet, if I look back, that's what my childhood looked like. I roller skated in my neighborhood. I rode bikes. I climbed on play structures. I did a lot of free form pickup games with the neighbor kids. And so it sounds like we had very similar upbringings. I didn't end up getting into organized sports at all until I was, until much later in life. But it's interesting to look back and be like, I was doing athletic things. I was living an athletic lifestyle, even if you didn't realize that, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so play has always been a part of your life, even if you weren't thinking about it. How did play become such a big part of your life that it is now, where it's sort of your whole mission? How did you transition into that?
I would say that I observed, so I was a teacher, physical education teacher and coach for years at the Washington International School, and I have two children, grown children. And I observed that children really, if they found an activity they loved, it didn't have to be a sport, I'm talking an activity, and they had the opportunity to play it, they would want to continue. It was fun, and lots of times it was something they wanted to do with friends. Now, of course, there's a chunk of people that it's competitive. They get to play a sport and they want to move up in the sport. That my children were that way. My son's still a baseball coach and he played pretty high level baseball. My daughter played high level soccer and they both still are active today. And same with myself, discovered tennis in college and competed till recently, but I had shoulder surgery a year ago and now I'm back to playing. I noticed that if you found something you enjoyed, but then I also noticed simultaneously, Robin, that you were either playing a sport 6 days a week or an activity, or you were not doing anything. You were maybe home on electronics. And so I said, something's happening. So I started researching it and I discovered it since the 1980s, children have lost 8 to 10 hours of free playtime a week. Hmm. And because of that, I said, you know, I need to do something about it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, looking back, I'm a child of the 80s. So I grew up in the 80s and, you know, back when I grew up, I guess I'm just trying to look back, but it was the era, especially the early 80s, of go play outside. Like kids yes. would go play outside until dark and then you come back in. But it was also the era where video games became a part of our everyday life, and TV after school and things like that. So I could see sort of the decay of play, as you said, where it's like, yes. it was a normal part of life. And then as the decade progressed and the 80s became the 90s, kids were playing less and less, and yeah. to the point where unless, you know, and currently now I think modern, at least for kids, it's a lot of structured activities. Like you do dance class, you do your sport, but there's not a lot of unstructured play anymore. Why do yeah. you think that is? What do you think contributes to that? And what are you looking to change?
Well, a couple of things that contributed to that. The media didn't mean to, I think, make this happen, but it made it happen. So if one child was abducted, oh my goodness, that blew up all over the place and it made front page news. And actually, it's been declining of children being abducted since the 60s, 70s. That's something that has gone down. But so parents have become more we got to know where our children are at all times. Plus, people have had smaller families, so they were keeping track of their children more. And then if you had the funds and your neighbors were doing it, your friends were doing it, you thought you had to sign your child up for an adult-led activity, whether it be a sport or an activity, and wasn't always necessarily a physical activity. It could be arts or music or something, or robotics, you know. And what happened was we lost that free play, like you and I just went out to play with kids of all ages. But the pandemic, that came back. That came back in areas where families felt fairly safe that they could let their children play with maybe just some neighbor children. Mm-hmm. It depended on the parents. But I know in my neighborhood, you saw kids bike riding more and rollerblading and roller skating and scootering and playing hide and go seek. And you didn't see that as much before.
Yeah.
Now, I'm concerned. I hope that people don't jump back into signing up for an adult-led activity every day, because frankly, I don't think you need it. I think you need time to be able to just totally relax and have your choice of play. And that's a very wide range. That could be reading a book that you enjoy, or a comic book, or it could be writing in your journal. At the same time, you and I both really understand and get what it does for us when we physically move. And that's why me, coming from a physical educator's background, say to people, you need to think about your body. You're gonna feel so much better if you regularly get physical activity. I don't like to call it exercise or going to the gym. I like to call it activity that you enjoy.
Well, yeah, that just sounds better. I think people have like a negative connotation with exercise, which, you know, you and I know doesn't need to be the case, but that's just how it is. And so, yeah, reframing it as, you know, positive or physical activity that you enjoy, you know, exercise is just sort of a thing that's happening. Yes. you don't realize, but you know, you make an interesting point about the pandemic, because we had the loss of structured adult led activities. So families had to find different ways to get out, get moving, get that positive physical activity. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens when the world opens up again, and what people might have learned from this experience in regards to, you know, what their needs are, the positive benefits of free play that, you know, wasn't happening before, but maybe we'll see some change. Who knows?
I hope so.
I would love to segue into play for adults, because of course, a big concern for parents is, you know, physical activity or hobbies or, you know, play for kids. But I think something that gets lost, and it doesn't matter if there's a pandemic or not, this is pre-pandemic type stuff, but something that gets lost is the benefits of joyful physical activity or hobbies, things that bring you joy, free play for adults. So tell me how you've incorporated this, or how you've introduced this for adults, and the benefits that you've seen adults experience, especially, you know, at midlife and aging adults, the benefits you've seen them experience when they incorporate play for themselves.
I'm going to tell you all of that, but I'm even going to jump ahead and tell you my lifetime goal.
Okay.
From now on is to reach as many adults as possible to say, you deserve to play and you need to play. Because could you imagine if everybody said, oh, so my play time is X, right, or on Tuesday and Friday, I do Y, and, you know, the weekends I do this. But every single day you gave yourself time for you. And it could be walking with a friend. It could be going to games night, which I really miss. Speaking of our super seniors, for over 10 years, I would go to intergenerational games night at an apartment building a few blocks from my house. And I would play different card games and board games with people as old as 95.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And what's wonderful that made it intergenerational is teens could get community service for going for those 2 hours on Tuesday nights. They would help bring out the games, and they would play with these super seniors and then help put things away. And it just would be so much fun to have people of different ages playing together, and with cell phones would be put away, and you would look over and there'd be two people playing chess. And then there were the bridge players, and there was the rummy cue players, and the Spanish group that played together. And it just, I really miss it. Now I play at home with my husband and son. We're all poker players. our son is way more than we are, but anyway, you know, during the pandemic, you couldn't go to a lot of places. So what did we do? We played cards at home. Yeah. Other things we've done, though. Oh, Robin. So at the very first play day we had, September 2009, people started saying to me, Pat, how about an adult play day? And, you know, I'm thinking, oh, where could we hold it? You know that they would maybe like a beverage that you don't serve at the community center. We hold it. And about 8 years ago, I was at our VFW. Do you know what that stands for? Veterans of War. A place where adults go. Yeah. And they have a really great outside picnic area. And I was there with a friend. And next thing you know, the manager comes up to me, Kiki, and says, "All right, play lady, when do you want your adult play day?" And I said, "Oh, wow." I said, "But what would it cost us?" She said, "Oh, as long as they buy the beverages here, it doesn't cost you anything." So last June 2020 would have been our seventh annual play day, adult play day, but we were in, what do? We knew we couldn't do it in person and we weren't quite ready for virtual, but then we started holding, and in September and February, we had two virtual play days. And this June, June 5th. So if people hear this podcast before June 5th, they could go to our website, letsplayamerica.org, and sign up for free to play all five or one of five play activities for the adult virtual adult play day. And we get people in their 20s all the way up to their 90s that will join in. I can even tell you the five activities we have planned.
Yeah, I'm curious. What are the activities?
We're going to start out with a 21-year-old. Lila will be performing from New Orleans. She is my 94-year-old friend's granddaughter, and she has a wonderful voice. She writes music and is studying music, and that'll be for a half hour. And then Shawanda, our mud pie lady, Shawanda Oliver, is going to have Let's Boogie, and she's going to teach you how to dance, to do the jitterbug and other types of fun dances. And then we have, this is really special, since the very first play day, our Congressman Raskin leads Simon Says.
So
you can play Simon Says with a congressman. Yeah.
This is Simon Says for adults led by a congressman.
Yes, yes. And then, so I've been attending this U.S. Play Coalition conference. I've gone for years. It changed my life when I first went in 2011. And it's a virtual conference this year. So I watched a presentation called Crazy Games. Dr. Winnie Play, guess where she's from? Hong Kong. And Dr. Robinson from South Carolina led Crazy Games. And she's basically led these games that you can play at home virtually. And I had so much fun. I contacted them. Next thing you know, they said, "Hey, we'd be glad to lead Crazy Games." So you can play with Dr. Play from Hong Kong. And then our very last activity, this remarkable, amazing couple, Anna and Jay Keller, are going to lead Comedy Half Hour. And that'll be it. The two other virtual play days, we had more activities, we decided let's focus on these five, and, 100 people can sign up for each one. So we hope to max out at 500 people playing.
That's so cool. And yeah. I like it. It's kind of less is more. So it's, really honing in on five distinct activities.
We upped it the second time around. And because something that from the very first play day, except for adult play days, teens could sign up to volunteer and they would receive community service. Because I don't know if you've heard about this where you live, but where we live, teens need to do community service so many hours to graduate.
Right.
And I love working with teens. That's who I taught for years. And they really are great helpers and players. So when it came time to have virtual play days, how could they help? And we said, they have to participate in every activity and then they have to fill out a survey. So the good thing is we got a lot of data and information feedback from them, but this is the adult play day. And we also want to record it. We weren't allowed to record the other two. So this will just be people 18 and older that are adults. And you know, if they have a beverage at home and have their orange juice or whatever.
Yeah, you can have whatever you want because you're at home.
Yeah.
But I like how all the activities are really different. Some are more physical. Some are more, you know, you're just enjoying some entertainment. So it kind of hits people wherever, whatever lights them up and they think it is fun. Yes. So tell me about like the benefits you've seen or the feedback you've received from adults who have participated in play days like this.
Oh, it's remarkable. So I'm just going to think back to some of our adult play days that were in person. And we usually bring our giant chess set and our hula hoops, but I recall the last one in person, the double Dutch ladies came and, you know, a lot of people, oh no, there's no way. And then we'd get them to try it a little, and they're so good at teaching. So some people literally in their 60s were doing double Dutch, maybe even older. And we have these weighted hula hoops, Robin, that some people think they could never hula hoop, but as soon as you try a weighted one, all of a sudden you can do it. And some you have to say after 10, 15 minutes, you might want to stop. Your back's going to feel it tomorrow.
But you know, you make an interesting point about, you know, discovering your ability to do something you didn't think you could do.
Yes.
And how, what that does for a person, because that's sort of an area where I work, where it's like, I help people do things physically and athletically that they never believed they could ever do or never saw themselves doing. Or I like to say, younger you would be shocked that you're doing this now. And, you know, and so you're seeing that with the double Dutch, which I took a double Dutch class several years ago. I used to play roller derby and I would go to a roller derby convention every year and somebody decided to teach a double Dutch class just out of the blue. And it was a very popular class. And it was so fun, whether we were good at it or not, you know, we were smiling the whole time and we were surprising ourselves at what we were actually able to do. And there's something that happens in a person. And I think with women in particular, because we keep ourselves small, we're trained to keep ourselves small all the time. Yeah. There's something that happens when you find yourself doing something that you didn't think you could do.
We bring out the bocce and the cornhole, and there may be some that know the activity, but some that have never seen it before. And so you're right. There's always people learning from others and experiencing that wow moment, that wow, that I was able to toss that corn bag and put it on the board or put it in the hole, you know, and they're overjoyed. And then the next time they see me, Pat, did you see me? Oh, yeah, I saw you toss it.
You're good at it now.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. A whole variety. Oh, and I ordered something like 2,000 Let's Play America balloons a couple of years ago. And we had a really warm adult play day a couple of years ago. So I said, oh, well, let me fill up some balloons and we'll have water balloon toss. Those, they would not break.
Oh, no. Had to go into a whole water balloon fight to make it break.
Oh, yeah. That's what we started throwing them at the cement and trying. Yeah. Who can break a balloon? Because they wouldn't break. Oh.
But I bet there was a lot of laughter around that.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. I get razzed about that. You know, like, Pat, do you still have the balloons with water?
Yeah. And, you know, I imagine, like, people might show up to this type of thing, especially the in-person ones, or maybe the online ones as well, where they might feel a little reserved.
Yes.
Where they're kind of reserved when they show up and then loosen up and relax as the day goes on.
Yes. So the play angels, refer to all these volunteers that have helped us out for years and it just keeps growing. They help people relax. And I try to model that. And I think that rubs off on the play angels. And we basically, Robin, if you came for the first time, you know, one of us would come up to you and invite you to play. And one time we brought in a guy to teach us line dancing. And that was just super fun.
This so sounds like my type of thing, by the way. I love line dancing. I love double Dutch. I love learning something new and doing it with other people. Like that. Yes. I love that.
One year, people really wanted to play some of the card games. So we made sure we had tables for people to be able to play. Some people learned the new card games. Have you ever played the game Kings in the Corner?
I have not.
Oh, you'll have to Google it. It's one of the easiest games to learn. And so you don't need to be that high level in math or anything, like for bridge or something. And basically 2 to 4 people play it, but people pick it up quickly and it's just fun. Yeah. I would say that for adults, and I'm talking in their 20s all the way up to someone, I have not met someone that's 100, but I know someone 95 and 94. And I would say that they find as much enjoyment out of play as children do when they play. They just, their society has kind of pushed us to say, you know, you need to work, you need to take care of others. And you're older now, you need to grow up. Well, I don't know who came up with that, but I don't agree with it.
I don't agree with it either. Yeah, we're meant to keep playing.
Yes.
The quality of life, your quality of life will improve if you subscribe to that philosophy.
Oh, absolutely.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So I want to talk about competitive play because, you know, that's sort of a wheelhouse of this podcast. It's sort of my wheelhouse and probably a lot of our listeners that, you know, participate in competitive sports and really get lit up by that. And you and I had a brief conversation prior to starting this interview about how the highest level of play is when both parties or all parties are enjoying themselves. So looking at competition, one may not think that the highest level of play is possible, but you have something else to say about that.
Yeah. So I truly believe that if while you are playing and you value being 100% a good sport, like there's no way you want a point or there's no way you want to win a race unfairly.
Right.
You want to totally play above board and play by the rules. And so if you are giving your best, if I can use tennis, because
yeah, that's your easy thing. Yeah.
Easy analogy for me. And I'm playing you, Robin, and I am playing out of my mind. I'm really playing great, but you are playing even better. So what? I appreciate that you've hit winners. That, you know, that you can run me around and I'm trying my hardest and that's just the way it goes. You know, you're not always going to win and that does, and you shouldn't feel bad about it.
Right.
If you walked away and know you played your best, and I would say that developed in me over a year. I coached over 64 teams in my life, soccer, basketball, tennis, and then one baseball. My son at the age of 8 told me I had to stop coaching because I would bring even the outfielders into the pitcher's mound to talk to them.
It would just take too long.
Well, he just said, Mom, they don't do that. But my master's is in positive talk in sports psychology. And really, if you are talking to yourself, if I hit the ball in the net, I tell myself I'm going to hit the next ball over. If I hit the ball out, I tell myself I'm going to hit the next ball in. And the enjoyment you get out of that, because you realize I didn't mean to do that. No one ever means to hit it out, but I know what I need to do. And I'm just going to keep trying and have fun. And I also think it's great to compliment your whoever you're competing against. Why not recognize if you said you participated in roller derby?
Or, yes, I did. Yeah. Yeah.
So was that a team activity?
It was a full contact team sport. So very intense, but yes, a team sport.
Being on a team is so wonderful because you can help your teammates in so many ways. And one of the biggest ways you can help them is by giving positive feedback. Mm-hmm. And really just being supportive. And of course you can do that individually, track, swimming, singles, tennis, et cetera. But it's remarkable by just some of the things you say and the attitude that you have that brings out the play and the pleasure of it.
Yes. Yeah. It was always really important on my team was we supported each other. We positive, lots of high fives, lots of lifting each other up because in the thick of the game, especially if you're losing, it can be difficult. It can become difficult to stay focused. Something I loved about roller derby, and it's a practice that I believe continues today, is that, it is an intense sport. You do get emotional out there. Okay. But at the end of the game, each team presents MVP awards to the other team.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, that's a practice that many teams and leagues do in roller derby is at, once the game is over, they'll have MVP, offensive player, defensive player, and all around, and they will present those awards to the other team. And so that is an opportunity to recognize your competition and the standout players on your competition and get that recognition from your competition. So, that's a really cool thing. And that's something we always had that where we were a league, we played on teams against each other within the league, but at the end of the day, we're friends. We respect good play. And we usually would go out and get a drink afterwards, all together. So, but as an individual, now I'm in an individual sport. And I see this as well, where, when you're trying to compete at the highest level, you want the people you're competing against to also be playing at the highest level, because that elevates you. That makes you a better athlete at the sport you're doing. So for me, I do obstacle racing and running now. And so I always try and find that person who's at my level or a little bit better to really, I use them as a guide to push myself. And, I always, after the race, there's always a, good race. You really pushed me. Thank you for that. Whether it worked in my favor or didn't work in my favor, and it goes both ways, but that's, I think in the world of free play, and this can happen with parents of kids, and now this can happen as adults, where there's sort of a negative view of competitive play, where that can have sort of a negative connotation, where there actually are tons of positive benefits of competitive play, like we're talking about right now, where it can elevate you. It can create a level of respect for the people you're competing against. I'm a big supporter of competitive play, and it sounds like that you see those benefits as well.
I would not take anything away from competitive play. I think that the only thing that I would like to see is you may not be that skilled in something, but really enjoy it. For example, if you notice guys and gals that love to go play pickup basketball, and they may not have made their high school team, but they still want to play basketball. And I'm just using, you know, that could be almost any sport, softball, right. you name it. And I really would love to see the opportunity there for anyone that wanted to still continue to play. And I think that's something that's really lacking in our society. And that's partially why many adults stop playing. They don't have the opportunity to go play.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel right. Like when I love to ask people 40 and over or almost any age, but three of my favorite things are, what did you play as a child? What are you playing now? And what do you dream of playing? And I think if you think about what you played as a child, you may be able to pick up some of those things again. Like people tell me they bike ride. And I said, well, why don't you go get a bike? Oh no, you know, I don't know if I'd ever ride. I said, rent one for a while. Go to a bike store and say, hey, I'm thinking about getting back into biking. They'll let you take it out for a while because they know you'll end up buying it.
Right. That's all it takes.
Yeah. If they're smart, I would think they would come up with something like that. Well, but
yeah, that's how I got into roller derby. I mean, it's sort of a convoluted way, but I grew up roller skating recreationally, like as a kid, free play roller skating. I lived on a cul-de-sac.
Where did you live or grow up?
Up in the San Jose in the Bay Area, California.
Okay.
So I grew up in a suburban neighborhood where, you know, I lived in a cul-de-sac and I would just skate around in circles in my cul-de-sac on my little 80s skates. And I always loved skating. And then I moved to Los Angeles in the early 2000s and I didn't really know anybody. And so I went online at the time, it was Craigslist, and found an ad for a brand new roller derby league, a women's roller derby league. And I was intrigued. I was like, I love skating. I'm going to check this out, even though it was kind of scary to go to them. I didn't know what to expect, but that's just it. It's like finding that connection from what you loved to do, what you always loved to do naturally as a kid, and finding ways to do it now at the level you're at now, or whatever that means for you now.
Yes. Yes. I love the socialization of playing with people. Like when I arrived today at the tennis court, there already were 6-7 people there. Hey, Pat, hi. You know, everybody, and I say hi back. And then next thing you know, we were warming up to play some doubles. And then we rotated so different people could play with different folks. And I just can't believe that it's half mile, 3/4 of a mile from me. Mm-hmm. And such fun people.
Right.
I feel so lucky. I would drive all around the DC area, Maryland area to play competitive tennis for years. And for the most part, I enjoyed it, but I really, Robin, I don't want to play with anybody that cheats. I'm not saying that all people cheat in tennis, because that's definitely not true, but I just didn't enjoy it as much. I really want to have fun.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's like, you know, you're at an age, you've got limited free time. You want to enjoy what you're doing. Like ultimately you want to enjoy what you're doing. And that's what you're trying to help people find. That's what I'm trying to help people find, is activities that light you up and you enjoy doing and make you feel good. Now that we're kind of moving out of the pandemic.
Can I share a couple things for your listeners?
Yes, Rob? please.
Because I think they would really benefit from them. On our website, Let's Play America, that during the pandemic, one of the best things we did was we made great lemonade out of the lemons thrown at us. We couldn't have public gatherings and play events. So we wrote play day handbooks. And they're really reasonable, and the feedback we're getting is incredible. So it's, you receive it, it's digital, and it's not much. And right now you can get the two for almost the price of one. And so I tell people that it's not not so much for the money, way more for what you would gain from it. You could literally then make a play day for your family or your neighborhood or your coworkers or place of worship. It doesn't matter. Or you could go big time and make one for the San Francisco area. And also, my second children's book is coming out this year. And I know you might say, well, Pat, this is for people 40 and older. Well, you may have young children in your life. Yeah. Or you may want to also get a book and give it to a preschool or a library. And this book is called Let's Play Outside. And who knows, it's photographs of children playing with brief text in it. So the first book, I have the remaining books that publisher closed, that was called Let's Play at the Playground. And people have told me they use it as a coffee table book. So
that's so cool. And I love this concept because, you know, you can introduce this book, read this book to your kids and maybe come up with ideas on how you could play together.
Yes, the handbook for the Playday handbook, the original first one, has over 50 different activities. For example, one Playday, a Girl Scout was going for her top honor, and she wanted to create an obstacle course at the Playday. And I said, how cool, that would be great. And I remember even doing it and loving it. And I saw other adults and children, you know, different all ages seem to give it a shot. So, and people really will be amazed at, oh, wow, I never thought of this, or I could do that, or this. Or
I like that it's filled with ideas. So, you yes. know, that could be a problem when people are, you know, as we age, it's just coming up with like, how, like, great. Yes. I understand that I should play. What yeah. am I gonna do? And so you're like, here's this handbook. I have tons of ideas for you. Just go, you know, start checking them off.
Yes.
Or pick the ones that you like the best.
Yes. The other thing is I write a column. There was a magazine called the Playground Magazine for 20 years, pandemic, they lost funding. Well, it's called playgroundprofessionals.com. And my column's called Ask the Play Lady. So on our website under, play resources, there's a whole bunch of different organizations that are resources that can help you. So there's a lot on there that if someone's saying, I'm listening to this, I'm 45 years old, you know, I haven't been playing, I've been just working and raising my family, or you know, maybe you're single and you just want to get back out there, but you don't know what you want to do. We got the ideas.
You got them covered. And that's perfect, especially in this time where people might even feel an additional level of awkwardness in getting yes. back out into the world again. And it's yes. like just making it as easy as possible to come up with ideas or ways to get up, get moving, have fun, connect people in a time where you haven't been connected in a really long time. This is a way to do it.
Oh yeah.
I love it. I love it. So is it letsplayamerica.com?
Yes.
Okay, good. And it yes. sounds like everything is there. Everything you could possibly need.
Actually .org, but .org. they both work.
Okay. Then it all leads to the right place.
Yes.
That's good. Okay. You know, aside from the resources on your website, I would yes. love to ask, like, okay, can you give, you know, 2 to 3 quick tips to help adults get more play in their life? Like if they could do something right now, do you have some advice that you could give?
Yes. First would be to choose to go outside and okay, is there a playground walking distance from you? Go and swing. When is the last time you went to a playground and just
right? Adults are allowed to swing, right?
Oh yeah.
The playground.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, if you get looks, say, come join me.
right. Maybe they're looking because they just feel scared to actually get on there with you. But yeah, right. Why not? Right.
The other thing outside is inviting a family member, a neighbor, a friend to go for a playful walk. And you might say, well, what's a playful walk? Well, you talk about something fun for a while. What have you been reading? Did you watch any movies recently? You know, what do you like to play? And then if I can, let's go indoors a minute. And when is the last time you've set up a puzzle? Or do you have a deck of cards? Teach yourself a new card game. Look up Kings in the Corner. You know, ask family members or friends to have games night. Yeah, have your own games night, Robin, where people that you're comfortable with, everybody's been vaccinated, and you all decide to say, okay, we each get to choose a game that we want to play. Mm-hmm. Some people absolutely love trivia. I'm horrible at it, or I'm horrible at Scrabble, but I'll play. Yeah. And that's another point I want to bring up. You want to help someone feel better, play something they want to play with them.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, do what they want to do, and you'll feel better because you'll help them feel better.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. And I think we're reaching a stage where we can start doing more and more of that stuff. And so just kind of reconnecting with the idea of games night and doing puzzles and playing cards and getting out and walking with friends. And I like your point of like playful walk. So we're not talking about work. We're not talking about, you know, struggles. We're talking about, you know, hobbies. We're talking about interests. We're talking about play. We're talking about things that make us happy.
Yes.
So just having that time that, you know, I liken it to, it's like, it's recess. It's adult recess, where when kids go out on recess, they're not talking about schoolwork on the playground. You know, they're not talking about homework.
I also recommend to go walk outside your door. Try not to get in a car or get on the bus, unless you get on your bike.
Right.
So that you are being physically active from the get-go, from you walk out your door, and maybe you go to the drugstore and buy a box of sidewalk chalk, and then you find a blacktop area and you draw something really playful. At the end of my driveway, we've painted a hopscotch board. Almost daily, we see someone stop and hop on the hopscotch board. Lots of times it's kids, but sometimes it's a family. Sometimes it's teenagers. Sometimes it's adults. It's so much fun to see.
I think it reminds me, I saw something on the internet of someone who drew a really elaborate hopscotch on their driveway and had a camera set up.
Oh, wow.
And watched, you know, people from the neighborhood, the mail carrier,
yes,
go through their hopscotch. And I saw a video of it and I just thought that's so neat. And I love that it's like it engages and connects people in the neighborhood, or just makes somebody else smile. Just this little thing makes somebody else smile. And that feels good.
Oh, it does. It really does. Well, people know that neighbors know their children and the adults are allowed to play in our yard. My mother-in-law was visiting. She got bored watching us play poker. I said, oh, there's a ball game going on in the backyard. And she took her walker and looked out the window and watched them playing ball. I guess that's more fun than watching us play cards.
Right. You know, the other day I just moved to San Diego and I live in this complex, and my office that I'm in right now overlooks a parking lot. And the other day I saw a few young girls roller skating in the parking lot.
Whoa.
And I'm here, I'm working. And I thought, well, you know, it would be more fun to go skate with them because I'm a skater. I have skates and everything. And I even went on social media. It's like, should I keep working or should I skate with the local kids? And every single person's like, well, you're going to go skate with the local kids, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, but it was a weird thing for me. I'm like, I don't know them. Is that okay? And I just decided to go out. They were with their grandma. And I was like, you know what? I'm a skater. I have skates. You know, would it be okay if I came out here? And she said, yeah. And so I grabbed everything and I spent 30 minutes skating with these little girls I didn't know, you know. And you know, it's like it made everybody smile. It made me happy. It made them happy.
Oh, I can only imagine. Yeah. Because you're probably so skilled that they were in awe, and maybe they picked up a couple tips.
The grandmother is like, show them some stuff. What do you have? And so I was like, here's how I go backwards. Here's how I jump off a curb, you know?
Oh my God. So
yeah, they got to see me do skills. And then I just, you know, the other day I went out to get the mail and they were like, hi, Robin. So now they all know
me. So now you have these new young friends.
So you just never know what play will do and how that will bring joy into your life, bring people into your life, and bring joy into other people's lives as well. So I just, I love everything about it, Pat. So as we get ready to wrap up, can you remind everybody how people can learn about you and how people can bring more play into their lives, or how you can make it easier for them to bring more play into their lives?
Oh, sure. I'd be glad to. So I have the easiest email, I've been told, theplaylady@gmail.com.
Perfect.
And if you can't remember that, you can have info@letsplayamerica.com or .org.
We'll definitely confirm that in the show notes and make sure the right information's in the show notes.
Yes, it's on the website. You can reach out to me for consulting. We definitely, I'm willing to talk to people, and you can make a donation or even just reach out to me in an email, and we'll go from there. But so more play in your lives. First off, you have to say to yourself, I deserve to play. And then ask yourself, really, what would I like to play? And then write it down and give yourself, when can I do it? And just make a point to go and do it. You know, I was preparing for this today and doing some other things on my to-do list. And I said, I am not missing my 10 o'clock tennis. And I didn't. I know it made me feel better. And I know that I would enjoy seeing my friends, and I would be getting physical activity and relieving stress. So all these good things are going to happen to you when you play. So I hope all the people listening to this not only will give themselves playtime, but then be play advocates. And when you talk to other family members and friends and neighbors, tell them the story, tell them about us, and say, you know, you deserve to play.
You deserve to play. Let's spread the play advocacy, as you said, but it's the power of play, I like to say.
Yes.
Let's spread that. Let's make it a thing everywhere. And letsplayamerica.org is the website, correct?
Oh, wonderful. Oh gosh.
I want to make sure people know where to find it. That's where you can find the play day, which is, what's the date of that again?
That's June 5th. Soon on the website, you will be able to sign up. There will be free Eventbrite, am I saying that right?
Eventbrite?
Yes, Eventbrite. Yeah. That's what it is. And my assistant sets that all up. Oh, I wanted to share that we also have Shop and Play on the website. So if you want a Let's Play America t-shirt or hat or sweat jersey, or you can even buy a canvas bag. There's all kinds of things, which I think, you know, it's fun to put on your play clothes and go out and play.
That's right. Cause that's a thing we had when we were kids too. We had our play clothes.
Our
Oshkosh Bagosh.
Yes.
We need our grown up Oshkosh Bagosh.
Oh my.
Come back with holes in the knees and grass stains and all that.
All of that. But you know, they felt so good. That was really why I've chosen my two professions, teaching and coaching and becoming a play advocate. Comfortable clothes.
I mean, it's really what it's all about. Like, yeah. So before we go, I always ask this is the last question I always ask everybody. If you could leave us with one parting piece of wisdom, what would that be?
Parting piece of wisdom. Everyone deserves to play.
I figured it would be something like that. Everyone deserves a play. So I hope coming out of this, we all have ideas of how we want to play, when we're going to play. And you said a lot of the same things that I tell, you know, my training and coaching clients. It's like, decide on a thing, decide when you're going to do it, and then do it. Like, it's really about that. Stop thinking about doing it and do it. And yeah. So, you know, that's, it sounds like we're on a similar wavelength with that. So yes, let's get more people playing. Pat, yeah. Thank you so much for reaching out to the Seasoned Athlete podcast and sharing your mission with us to get more people playing at all ages, from children all the way to their 90s. And hopefully you'll meet someone in their hundreds soon, you and I both. But thank you for sharing that and creating these opportunities for people to get out and play. It's so, so important and so, so necessary. So thank you again for being on the Seasoned Athlete podcast.
You're welcome. Have a playful day.
Have a playful day. I love it.
If you have dreams of achieving bold athletic and fitness goals like the seasoned athletes you listen to on this podcast, a key part of doing that is a consistent fitness program and routine. And if that's something that's just not happening for you right now, I can help you get it going again. It all starts with your first 5 days. Your first 5 days is a free mini challenge that's all about setting that foundation to get you back into your body, your energy, and your confidence with simplicity and ease. Each day during your first 5 days, you'll get a mini audio training that you can listen to while you move. You'll get simple tips and action steps you can use to make fitness a part of your everyday life in a way that doesn't feel heavy, hard, or stressful. Where you go from there? Well, the sky's the limit. For now, though, start with your first 5 days. Get it for free at robinleggett.com/5.